You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
So where are you off to, Fester?
Gee, Gomez, I'm low on gunpowder and light bulbs.
Okay, but remember, don't use the cigarette lighter to charge your...
Oh, dear. The repairs will cost us an arm and a leg.
Well, I'll go out back and dig up a few arms and legs.
Ah, here we are, Bones. Bloodsucker Auto Repair. Excuse me, I left my hearse off here for an oil change.
Hey, Drac, here's the bill.
$3,000 for an oil transfusion? Oh, my. There's a pain in my chest.
Master, it's the stake they just drove through your heart.
Taking your car or truck to an auto repair shop shouldn't be scary or your worst nightmare. When you take your car to Perfection Auto Works, you will be tranquil with our free 26-point inspection, our quality parts, and our service. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
What organizations sponsor the news you see on TV? Do you think these sponsorships affect the news reports about their products? Do these same organizations sponsor politicians? If you recognize that our current leaders represent their own interests far more than yours, if you question the political theater you're fed every day, and if you question the approved narrative, become engaged for freedom in the Pima County Libertarian Party, no matter your political party preference.
Check out PimaLP.org or find us on Facebook. Paid for by the Pima County Libertarian Party.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
The John C. Scott Show is paid for by the John C. Scott Company, LLC. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum, now in our 32nd year of continuous political talk in Southern Arizona. Our guest today, Scott Stewart, former Pima Community College board member, served on the board of Pima Community College for 18 years. There's a key election that's underway in this election year that will decide the fate of Pima Community College. We'll have a great deal to say about that. We'll also be talking with Ed Ackerley, who is a candidate for mayor of Tucson. Not many people thinking about the mayor's race, which is next year. They're thinking about the midterms, which is on Tuesday. Let's talk with Scott Stewart. Hi.
Hi.
Good to see you.
So normally I come in here and I talk, you know, about libertarian issues and libertarian candidates. But as you know, John, I was on the governing board for 18 years. Pima holds a very, very big place in my heart, and this coming election is very important. And in the studio with us is one of the better board members that we have ever had, Damian Klinko, running for re-election, who I am supporting wholeheartedly, along with a guy named Greg Taylor, who is replacing Meredith Hay, who took my seat back in 2016. And it's a really important election that nobody seems to know about. So I think Pima College is like the most important institution that we have locally, but it's also the best kept secret in town, as my esteemed opponent from 1998, George Steele said. It's the best kept secret because nobody really knows everything that it does. And it's very important, I think, that we reelect Damian, that we elect Greg Taylor, so that we have a solid board majority to support Lee Lambert, the chancellor, continuing in the development and execution of fine workforce development programs that are strong enough to attract employers, which I have often said is Pima College's most endangered species. So, Damian, why don't you take off and say a little bit about, you know, what got you interested in Pima and why you're willing to go through all this hell again, and explain some of the issues currently going on.
Well, thank you for having me on the show. Thank you, Scott. You know, I always say America is better off when we have a strong and prosperous middle class. And the way we get there is through top-notch public education. And Pima and the mission to Pima is key to meeting that aspirational vision for this country. When people have good-paying jobs, it builds Southern Arizona's economy. And this college is at an inflection point, like you said. The last 7 years, we have worked to make sure that the college is affordable, it's accessible, and it's aligned, especially the workforce development programs are aligned to Southern Arizona's industries so that people can get good-paying career jobs without going into debt. And we've cleaned up our dual enrollment has tripled, but we've also cleaned up our pathways to the university, ASU, and U of A, so that students can get through programs affordably and then transfer. So the entire college, which was facing potential loss of its accreditation a decade ago, is now thriving. Harvard just named as one of the exemplars in the community college space in the country. Forbes just named Pima College the fifth best employer in the state of Arizona. And the list of accolades goes on and on and on.
You know, if you follow this from television, though, you would think there's something really going on over there, that Lambert is not doing his job and enrollment has gone to hell and the college is going in that same direction. Why is this such a nasty race? I mean, this is a race for a Pima Community College board seat that I've never seen before. It's really damn nasty, and it has been nasty to you. What the hell is going on?
So the board is divided. There are three members of the board who have collaborated and working closely with Lambert to execute this.
And you're part of that majority.
Part of that majority to execute a vision to revolutionize this college and bring it into the 21st century. And there are two individuals on this board who are dead set on stopping it completely in its tracks with no vision or articulated plan for what the future will bring. And as a result, this election matters more than ever. The two individuals who are committed to stopping this visionary agenda that's working, they joined the board almost 4 years ago, and they are one seat shy of taking a majority, and they have been critical of Chancellor Lambert from the beginning. So despite all of this noise, which they have been successful at amplifying, the college is doing great. It's better than it's ever done. And yes, is there opportunity for improvements? Of course. An institution the college's size, with 2,500 employees and 17,000 students, there are opportunities for improvements. But overall, the college is doing better than it has in a generation.
Well, there's no question that the enrollment's coming back. It reached an almost all-time low. Now it's coming back by, what, over 10%, I think, just in the last year.
Yeah, this year we saw about a 9% increase in headcount. But the college has faced, and colleges all over the country are facing enrollment declines for a host of different reasons. Pima Community College, because of its accreditation, saw deeper dives than other community colleges across the state. We see, the enrollment in the college is generally counter-cyclical to the economy. So when the economy is doing really well and people have jobs, enrollment trends tend to go down. Then we had the pandemic, and people didn't want to be in a classroom space, and people seem to be waiting, and there's a generation of students who are lost, and we need to figure out how to find them and get them enrolled and get them back into the pipeline. But the strategic investment in what we call centers of excellence, which are best-in-class facilities and programs that are tied to Southern Arizona's economy, and we are built. I mean, in the last 5 years, we are spending about $100 million of state-of-the-art facilities, because the buildings that the college had simply weren't. They weren't functionally capable of maintaining and holding these programs. Things like advanced manufacturing, advanced automotive, a new addition doubling the size of our aviation program, and we're about to break ground on doubling the size of our allied health program. These are all the industries that exist here in Southern Arizona, and it's tying our economic development strategy for the region to the college's concentration and output so that students can get good paying jobs through these centers of excellence and end up with a high paying career at the end.
Well, I've heard Scott say this over and over again. It's not necessarily the diploma you might receive from Pima Community College. It's the paycheck that you'll get when you get a job. And that's really the greatest emphasis I know from Scott, a conversation I've had many times, and you.
Yeah, and it's also about upskilling and reskilling and 21st century skills. So the jobs of tomorrow haven't even been invented yet. But the skills, we know what people are going to need. They're going to need coding, computer technologies. They're going to need ways of rendering things in 3D and 3D printing. And so embedded in all of the programs that the college is investing into and redesigning are this idea of gaining 21st century skills. So you not only leave with a certificate or a degree or an opportunity to transfer and a high-paying job, but you also end up with real-world skills that will serve you not just in this current job, but in your career.
So, Scott Stewart, you've seen the opposition to Damien and mm-hmm. Mr. Taylor.
I'm very familiar with it.
Where are they going with this? They want to get rid of Lambert? They want to go back to decreditization? What the hell do they want?
Well, I would say that they want control of the institution. And they want a chancellor that they can control. And for what aims, I'm not really sure. When the crap storm started when I was on the board, there were a number of issues, and some of them were legitimate, but some of them were just around control of who the chancellor was going to be. The members of the group then called CFAIR, I don't know if they still call themselves now, but they're the same population, asked every candidate who applied for the job to withdraw, asked for Lee's resignation once he was appointed by the board, and they've continued to do that. They've continued to attack everyone. You know, at one time, Sylvia Lee and I were basically enemies because she was on the Open Admissions Coalition, and we had strong disagreements about that. But once she got on the board and saw how the college actually operated and the choices before it, she basically came around, not to my position on admissions, but certainly on the direction of the college. And she was among the two board members that went to do a site visit to select Lee. And she came back and gave him a very strong recommendation. And CFAIR basically attacked her from then on. And she gave a very impassioned speech before the board, 2 weeks ago, about that. And she, Marty, and I submitted a guest editorial to the Arizona Daily Star, endorsing Lee, endorsing Damien, and endorsing Greg, and making sure that these two board members do not get a third on the board to set us back.
Well, I want to come back after a break and talk about the viciousness of the campaign against you and what's at stake here. I'd also like to know, when you knock on a door and tell people you're Damien Klinkville, you're running for the Pima Community College Board, does anybody care? What is the level of interest in Pima Community College? Do people understand its role and understand its importance to this community? We'll come back after these messages.
Together, they've brought a bit of France to the heart of Tucson. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery at Prince and Campbell have become a gathering place for Tucsonans who love great bread and wonderful food. The bread and the pastries of La Baguette Bakery have become a Tucson favorite, and Guigny's French Cafe offers casual atmosphere, delightful French cuisine, and moderate prices. Dine in or dine out, Guigny's is just perfect for breakfast and lunch, offering specialty coffees, lattes, French wines, cocktails, imported beer, and a touch of France. Guigny's French Cafe and La Baguette Bakery in the Safeway Center at Prince and Campbell have now become Tucson's destination to dine in or to take out.
If there ever was a time to get active in local politics, it's right now. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. I'm calling on you to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Just Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Don't miss this chance to make a difference. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
From the Professional Network Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. With me, Scott Stewart, a member of the Pima Community College Board for 18 years. And here's Damian Klinker, who is now a member of the Pima Community College Board, seeking re-election. Go ahead. Pick it up where we left off, Scott.
Okay. Well, it's been a lot of fun this year. You mentioned that you had racist signs put up next to yours accusing you of that. I have never seen that in all my days in Tucson. I've been here since 1975. I've never seen anything that vicious. And it's unbelievable that anybody would raise that accusation against you.
You know, what's so interesting about this race, I think, is that so much is on the line. Really, it's an inflection point in the future of the institution is what we're voting on. It's a referendum on whether we're going to continue this trajectory to revolutionize this institution, to serve this community for generations to come, or whether we're going to stop it. And the people who want to stop this will do anything, apparently, to try to get their message across. And it is dangerous. It's dangerous for the citizens of Pima County. It's dangerous for voting. And it's dangerous for democracy.
You know, one of the interesting dynamics that I observed is that, you know, community colleges don't have tons of funding. And when you decide to emphasize one thing, that means there's going to have to be cutbacks in other areas. Whenever there's difficult choices, there's going to be people who complain. And it's a question of, okay, I understand we're going to go in a different direction. I have to accept that. Or let's just try a scorched earth policy and see how much we can destroy, and maybe I can hang on to my job for another 2 years.
Well, and what's so interesting about where the college is at is 2 years ago, the board went to the voters for an expenditure limit increase, which allowed the college to spend more of the tax dollars that are collected on operations. And that's allowing the college to make these critical investments, not only into workforce development, but the traditional liberal arts, sciences, and STEM programs that have always been a foundation of the institution. So the college is in a better financial position than it's been in a very long time. The infrastructure, the improvements, that 21st century vision that Chancellor Lambert and three members of the board, Kat Ripley, Meredith Hay, and I have been advancing for the last 4 years, is so critical to the future of Southern
Arizona.
Well,
you know, it seems to me the business community has the greatest stake in this. They need a workforce, and they need a qualified workforce. That's what Pima Community College provides. That's the goal of the college, to provide this individual with a background and education that qualifies him for that job. And the workforce is necessary for the prosperity of the entire community. And you've enjoyed the business community support, still do for that matter. So I must be saying something about what you want based upon what they want.
We're not graduating statistics. We're graduating real people with bills to pay, families to feed, and big dreams. And the college is poised to help those dreams and at the same time build the economy of Southern Arizona. It's two sides of the same coin. Creating economic opportunity, creating an economic ladder for individuals, and building a workforce that attracts incredible dynamic businesses and helps enhance the business community within our city. It is a shared virtuous circle. And if we can continue to enhance it through dynamic aligned programs that make sure that people are in classes that are leading to the jobs, everybody wins. It's a win-win.
Does this community understand the role of Pima Community College, do you think, Scott Stewart?
I think to a large degree they do, but it's always drowned out by other things. Everybody is worried about the top of the ticket races, and nobody really thinks that a community college race is that big a deal. But there are only five members on the board, so a 3-2 split one way can very easily in the next election go a 3-2 split the other way. And Lee, talented chancellors who have the mental capacity to handle the complexity and ambiguity of all the requirements and forge the relationships necessary in the community to build these programs, those people are rare. And I've liked every chancellor I've worked with in the past, but I tell you, Lee has it over them in so many ways, in that he can work well with the community and work pretty well internally as well.
And I would add that Chancellor Lambert really is a visionary in the community college space in the country. He's a thought leader driving this idea of how community colleges can evolve in a ever rapidly changing environment of acceleration, and that the college can quickly pivot and respond, and putting in places the systems to do that really is thinking to the future. And community colleges around the country are looking to Pima now as a model for many of the programs that we're
developing. I don't think there's any question that a person in his position, as well as others in similar positions, had to weather the COVID-19 storm that destroyed much of what we knew about ourselves as a community, as a business community, as a society. And that was important because the enrollment was taking a nosedive, as if, you know, the last person here turned out the lights. It got to that particular point. Now it's going back to where it should be. So there's progress in what has happened since COVID-19.
Yeah, enrollment is improving, but I think what's most important to keep in mind is that the quality throughput of the college is improving. So it's not just numbers that are improving, but it's the quality and the skills coming out of the students. Like you mentioned in the break, your daughter screens nursing students coming in. You know, I've watched the aviation program go from, you know, a tiny shop in an industrial park where they did composite structural repairs, to now we have an aviation center with two hangars in it, several donated airplanes, several different certificates. I mean, it's a world-class program, and we're doing that kind of improvement in lots of programs. And before, they were generally kind of weak.
All right, 30 seconds to ask people to vote for you. No more than that.
So again, this is a critical and pivotal election. This election matters. Voting in District 2 for Damien Klinko, voting in District 4 for Greg Taylor is critical for the future of Pima College. We need your support. We need your vote. If you want to come out and walk door to door and help communicate the importance of this, give us a call.
15 seconds, Scott Stewart.
I just reiterate what Damien said. Vote for Damien Klinko for District 2, vote for Greg Taylor for District 4. You know, we haven't talked too much about Greg, but I've gotten to know him. I helped on his campaign. I've donated. I've put up signs. I've done petitioning. I think he's a great guy.
Thanks so much, Scott Stewart.
Thank you.
Klinko, good luck. We support you.
Hey, look what just pulled up.
Hello, gentlemen. I'm Herman Munster. That souped-up car out there is just like me. It has parts from all around the world. can you fix it? With Jeep, I must admit, that's quick, friendly service. He didn't waste any time getting right on the job.
Hi, this is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. Don't let your car be a monster and leave you stranded. When it comes down to auto maintenance, we won't scare you into unnecessary auto or truck repairs. Just a free inspection, a free estimate, and the facts. And you make the right decision. Call 323-8650. That's 323-8650. Or perfectionautoworks.com.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
With a cost-effective campaign, you can reach your customer over and over.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
Accurately Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Create demand and grow your business with radio.
Contact Accurately Advertising.
From the Perfection Auto Works studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Speaking of Ed Ackerley, let's go to the University of Arizona Stadium. It's homecoming. The University of Southern California against the Wildcats of the University of Arizona. What a day this is in our town. Here's Ed Ackerley from where it's happening at the stadium. Ed.
Hello, John. How are you today?
Fine. I wish I were with you.
Yeah.
It's something to be a part of homecoming, isn't it?
Yeah, we were just talking that the University of Arizona was established in 1885, so this is the 137th time that homecoming has been a part of the process. Of course, the first year, they were all students, and there was no alumni coming back because they were all brand-new students, so It's not quite 137 years, but amazing day on the campus. There were thousands of people crawling all over the tents on the mall, and that was a great day for the University of Arizona. And, of course, my brother, some of the, your listeners know that my brother is the director of the Tucson Arizona Boys Chorus, and they're singing the national anthem here in a few minutes, and it's just been an electric atmosphere at the stadium.
You know, there's a lot of optimism about this football game. I don't want to necessarily make you a sports analyst, but the point is, a lot of people think this could be an upset that could turn this whole year around for the University of Arizona. It would be a miracle if they did it, but hope continues to strive no matter what.
Yeah.
That would be great.
It would be exciting for the fans, and of course, there's lots of talk about in the next 2 years that UCLA and USC might actually leave the Pac, whatever it is now, Pac-10, Pac-8. And it would be great to have a send-off to have the Cats win one of these games. And, I'm a big football fan, but I'm not a prognosticator of this type of stuff. But I just have to say I had the great fortune of going to see Coach Jed Fish work with the team. It was kind of like an in-service, and there were a few of us from the community that got to watch him actually work with the kids and talk to them about the future and so forth. And I do have to say I've seen a lot of football coaches, but I'm duly impressed with his football knowledge. You know, he never played a down of football himself. He's a tennis player by sport, and but he served under Bill Belichick, and he knows the systems, and he did he's going to be good, I think, for the University of Arizona over the next few years. I think he's got a good trajectory for the whole entire Pac 6, 7, 8, 12, whatever it's going to be.
By the way, there's a huge crowd too for homecoming. I don't know whether this is a sellout or not, and we were getting close to that for a couple of games there, but this is going to be a huge crowd. It's going to be a magnificent afternoon for football in Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, one of the nice things for me in the last couple of days, I've had a lot of, you know, I've been at the Eller College teaching for 30 years, and one of my very good friends that my dad knew for years was Carl Eller, for whom the Eller College of Management is named, and his wife, Stevie, was here yesterday, and we had some good engagement with her, and she was with us today, and, you know, her husband was, I've knew him for 50 years, and he ended up getting into the Advertising Hall of Fame, and I was very fortunate in my young career to go to that ceremony at the Waldorf Astoria Hotel and watch my good friend Carl be inducted into the Advertising Hall of Fame, and it's just an honor to teach at the U of A and teach young students who are living the legacy of the Carl and Stevie Eller endowment, so great to see her, and great to see so many people from so many years of great support. You know, and one of the interesting things, Danya Clough, who's one of my management team members, and I were walking, and I said, you know, when I become mayor, one of the things I have to do is I have to leverage this relationship with the elephant in the room, which is right in the center of town. We have this huge University of Arizona, and granted, they've done a lot of things for the city over the years, but we need some leaders in town that can engage the people in the hydrology department about the future of water. We need to engage people in the criminal justice department about what we can do about crime in our city. We need to work with the engineering department about the roads and streets. And we've kind of been, two moons circling each other, and it's time that we engage the University of Arizona. One of my buddies told me that, Tucson High School is directly kitty-corner to the University of Arizona. And if that was at Yale or at Harvard or at Stanford, that the university would be all in on making sure the third grade reading levels were up to par. And I've got to work with the university to make sure that they engage in our community. There's such a big impact, and that would be one of the things I do as mayor.
You know, there's a tremendous brain trust at the University of Arizona that could guide this city, or at least be a part of the guidance of this city. That is just untapped. You clearly pointed that out. Even though we have former city managers that have served as vice presidents of the University of Arizona and had connections, certainly with Councilman Steve Kosacek, who worked for the university all of the first period of his terms here on the city council, we just have never capitalized on this brain trust that could solve so many of our problems. I don't know why that is. You tell me why it is. I don't know.
Well, I don't know the reason, but I think it really is truly silos that the city tries to operate within its own silo, and then there's the county that does their thing, and the state does their thing, and then Raytheon does its thing, and the U of A does its thing, and what we have to do is have leaders in the city of Tucson who can reach across these silos and bring people together to solve these issues. And it might be just something as simple as, me getting together with President Robbins and saying, sit down and, Bobby, we need to do something here. What can we do together to solve these problems? There may just not have ever been an invitation to do that. I don't know that for a fact, but I'm just saying it seems to me like we're missing an opportunity here. And that's what I bring to the table as a mayoral candidate, is the ability to bring people together and to look for a vision for the future. And I'm really looking forward to trying to make that happen here in the city. We've got to do something, John. This crime rate is out of control. The homelessness situation is out of control. And we've been looking the other way. And in the last 20, 25 years, all this has happened. And now all of a sudden, people are experiencing these problems. And it's going to take a serious dedication to leadership to transform this city back to what it was when I was a young man growing up here in Tucson.
You know, it's just going to take more than talking about it. We have talked about this crime rate, you and me, for the last year and a half, and really for a campaign that took place just years ago when you first ran for mayor. Nothing's really changed about that. We have fewer policemen now than we did then. We have more crime now than we did then. Everybody knows what the problem is. We have a traffic problem, which people are getting killed every day on our streets, and we still haven't been able to reduce that significantly. We know the problems. Yeah. We just apparently don't know the solutions, Ed Ackerley.
Right. And that's one of the things that I think that leadership brings to the equation is the visionary view of what Tucson should be and could be and would be if we did the right things. But we've really got to work every day in the trenches. I was just talking to a young man that was working the tailgates and helping security and so forth. And we were talking about what it will take to do this. And I said, you know what we need is we need individuals on the city council and within the city government and the county government that do their jobs and do exactly what the charter. Everyone claims that we're a charter city, but nobody's adhering to what the charter says. And the charter says that public safety is the number one issue in our community. Well, I'm going to be a mayor that takes charge of public safety, and we're going to get 1,000 officers by 2025, and we're going to get 1,500 in the next 5 years after that, because that's what our city needs. Is we got to rein in this crime, and we've got to make sure that we do a better job of servicing the citizens of the city of Tucson in a more powerful way and stop looking the other way. We're going to do this, and we're going to do it well.
Well, and police simply just have not been able to perform at the level that had become really expected from the citizens of Tucson. You have an accident, nobody's hurt. The police won't even come and investigate the accident. Try taking that to your insurance company. No police report? Are you kidding me? You're going to go through hell just to get your money when somebody has violated you by crashing into your car. It happened to a relative of mine. That's why I'm passionate about it. So, come on, really?
I'm going to give an endorsement to Chief Chad Kazmar of the Tucson Police Department. He's about 6 months into his deployment as the new chief of police. He has the right vision. He has the right understanding of what Tucson can be. He's been there for a long time and knows what the capabilities are of the police force. What he doesn't have is the resources that he needs. He's only got less than 700 police officers. When my friend and former high school football buddy Roberto Villaseñor was the police chief, and when Sixto Molina was on the force, he's my campaign manager, they had over 1,200 police officers. And that's 15 years ago. And here we are in 2022 trying to the 33rd largest city in the United States of America has a police force of less than 700. I think the number is more like 642. And it's unconscionable that we're trying to resolve public service issues with, a third of the police force that we actually need.
And we keep finding money someplace. I don't know whether it's in the couch of the city manager's office or hidden in some drawer in the mayor's office, but we keep finding $150,000 here, $300,000, $400,000 there. And none of them relate to the major problems that face this community, which is a crime, actually. So,
I almost fell off my chair when the last city council meeting, the discussion ensued about raising user fees and raising, water, trash collection, park usage fees, and so forth. So basically raising taxes. Okay, if I'm not mistaken, I've been told that there's $150 million of excess COVID funds that is available to the city manager and to the police department and other places. And we're going to go raise taxes on people in a recession to try and solve that problem. It just doesn't make any sense. And we should be doing the exact opposite. We should be providing better service and better relationships with our community and not going back to the well right now. This is not the time or place to raise fees on people.
Well, I hope you enjoy your homecoming festivities. It should be just a huge day and hopefully a very successful college football game a little bit later as it starts at 4 o'clock. The one thing about homecoming, and I've attended literally a whole, I've been in this town 50 years, so I've been my share of them. It's the idea that all these students have parents, apparently, and they show up on a weekend. I thought, really? Good grief. You know, it's amazing. I always thought with the University of Arizona, it's just students. No, it's parents on a day like today, which makes it even more special because I suppose many of them are writing out checks to provide, well, a college education for those children. But it's a great day in Tucson, Arizona. Homecoming has always been and always will be one of the special days of the year. I know you're enjoying it, Ed.
Yeah. I'm enjoying it, and it's an honor and a privilege for me to teach part-time at the Eller College. I was trying to figure out, I think I've taught well over 10,000 students over the last 30 years, and maybe more, and it's just been an exciting part of my professional life. And the electricity down here today is awesome. Whether or not we win the game is not really the point. It's the fact that we have this great university in the midst of the city of Tucson, and we should leverage that for everything we can to make Tucson a better place for everybody.
Ed Ackerley, thanks for being with us. Good luck in your campaign for mayor. Thanks for being on the show today. Appreciate
it. Thank you, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
Very much. Bye-bye. We'll be back with the Democrats of Greater Tucson President Larry Bodine after these messages.
Now, two great furniture stores have become one. Homestyle Galleries, formerly located at 1010 South Wilmot and 2950 West Ina Road, have moved the Wilmot store to the West Ina Road location, making the Ina Road location one of the largest and most complete pre-owned and new quality furniture and home accessory store in Arizona. Homestyle Galleries saves you thousands of dollars on Southern Arizona's finest home furnishings. Now you can turn once-loved furnishings into cash. Visit this new Homestyle Gallery store at 2950 West Ina Road. They're open 7 days a week. There's never been a home furnishings inventory like this 15,000 square feet superstore. You must visit Homestyle Gallery's one-stop location for Southern Arizona's largest savings on quality furniture.
If you want news and analysis of Arizona's increasingly unhinged state and local politics with a skeptical, fact-based, and progressive viewpoint, you should be reading blogforarizona.net. Blog for Arizona is a thriving institution in Arizona's progressive politics for almost 20 years now. Blog for Arizona has authors from across the state with extensive experience and insight into Arizona's political history and culture. Find us online at blogforarizona.net, as well as Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram.
Did you know that a majority of Arizonans support more funding for public education, affordable health care, and jobs that pay well? This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson, and that's what we stand for. Activate yourself by Googling Democrats of Greater Tucson and clicking on Join Now. You'll be part of a dynamic organization of activists. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Radio advertising busts through clutter and reaches your customers with immediacy.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Tell a creative story with intimacy and emotion to sell your products and services directly to your customer.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Your radio commercial puts you front and center in the listener's attention span.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
Ackerley Advertising has over 5 decades of radio advertising experience. Stir emotion, create demand, and grow your business with radio.
Contact Ackerley Advertising.
From the Perfection Network Studios,
This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. The following is a presentation of the Democrats of Greater Tucson who are responsible for the content of this broadcast segment. Here is Larry Bodine, president of the Democrats of Greater Tucson. Larry, welcome to the show. You got to have a big show Monday coming right up before this election.
Oh, that's right. We do, as a matter of fact. Great to be on your show.
Thank you.
On Monday, October 31 at noon, Democrats of Greater Tucson is going to present James Serrazia. He is a law student at the University of Arizona James E. Rogers College of Law, and he is going to talk about the elections from the viewpoint of a young person and why young people seem to be so alienated from participating in politics these days. So James is age 26. He's running to be on the Pima County Democratic Party board. And I had a talk with him, and he was basically saying that young people today are really can't take part in the American dream because a high school diploma doesn't get you a job anymore. If you want to go to college, you have to take out enormous loans. And once they finish college, then they have so much debt they can't get a home to live in. And, you know, they don't want to live with their parents. So tune in. If you want to find out how young people look at the world, it's going to be Monday at noon, and you just go to thedgt.org or Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on that registration link.
And you don't have to be a spectator. You can be a participant by just simply asking a question yourself of your guest. That's the amazing thing that happens on Mondays.
Absolutely. And people love coming to Democrats of Greater Tucson meetings because they meet all these public figures and get a chance to ask them a question up close and personal. And then after that, we've got a real busy November. November 7th, we are going to have Catherine Ripley. She is the chair of the Pima County Community College. And she's facing a situation where the legislature has taken away $1 billion from public schools, and Arizona schools are ranked as the worst in the nation, according to teacher salaries and funding. And then on November 14th, just for fun, this will be after the election, we're going to have David Fitzsimmons, the Arizona Star editorial cartoonist, who has been drawing for the paper since 1986. He is one of fewer than 15 editorial cartoonists still working on American newspapers. And just to get a flavor for what he's like, he describes himself as a flaming moderate at the fringe of America's center and also the fastest draw west of the Potomac. So there's all sorts of good programs coming up. Just go to thedgt.org or Google Democrats of Greater Tucson. And you'll be up to date, and you get a chance to ask questions.
You know, Larry Fitzsimmons Fitzsimmons is just an absolutely remarkable, funny guy, and brilliant, too. I was joking with him in the last conversation I had with him. I said, you remember the television show Northern Exposure, you know, with the moose in the town?
Mm-hmm.
I said, you should have a television show of your own called Overexposure.
Yeah, that's hilarious.
I don't know whether he was laughing with me or whatnot. He's just a great guy. I will not miss that DGT meeting. I won't miss. I'll be in attendance for that, no matter what.
We'll be on Zoom, but there's a way you can do whiteboards, and he's going to do drawings for us. So you got to check that out.
Yeah, that's right.
And of course, you know, Election Day is creeping right up on us.
We got 25 seconds. Tell people to vote.
Please go out and vote. It makes a difference. Our democracy is at stake. It really is. I'm not kidding about this. You need to get to the polls if you haven't mailed in your ballot already. Go to a vote center starting on Monday and cast a vote for Democrats. We are the ones who want to defend our elections and defend democracy.
Well, I thank you so much, Laura Bodine, for everything you do for this community. We are so much better because you get up in the morning. Thanks for doing so. I'll be talking to you again next week. Thanks for being on the show today.
Thank you, John.
Have a great weekend. Thank you. He's a lawyer, an award-winning journalist for the New York Daily News, delegate to the Democratic National Convention. He is Larry Bodine, our friend and Democratic spokesman.
Thanks, Mike Emery, for your sponsorship of our show. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone. This has been the John C. Scott Political Forum from KVOI, trusted local news and talk. 10:30.
Are you tired of yelling at the TV when news about politics comes on? I know I am. This is Larry Bodine, president of Democrats of Greater Tucson. It's time to activate yourself by joining us and helping to elect Democrats. Simply Google Democrats of Greater Tucson and click on Join Now. Don't just sit on the couch. Activate yourself today with Democrats of Greater Tucson.
Come on, you no good lazy loafers. It's time to go to work.
Oh, Ma, it's hurt near midnight.
Well, you know how we operate. We wait till those that work go to bed. Then we go to work.
Yeah, but this midnight shift is getting to me.
Come on, let's get. Hey, you got the tools?
I got the skill saw right here.
Well, look at that there catalytic converter. Ain't she a beauty?
Just what the doctor ordered.
Get under and get that cat converter.
Hand me that there skill saw.
Oh! My arm!
What happened?
Dad, burn it. They had one of them there Rita-cats installed.
Dadgum, Perfection Auto Works. We're losing money because of them varmints.
What about my
Did
arm?
You know that the catalytic converter is the number one stolen item from cars today? At Perfection Auto Works, we offer a device called a Rita-cat. It protects your catalytic converter and makes it impossible for thieves to steal it. Call 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.